Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Patrick Cruikshank. Patrick has been the CEO of Chilean Metals since March of 2016. Since 2013, he has been active as president and CEO of Kogonov Inc., successfully raising over a couple of $1 million and negotiating two joint ventures on three of its iron oxide copper gold projects in Nova Scotia and in a very challenging economic environment. We want to ask Patrick to talk a little bit more about the IOCG type of deposits. He's currently also serving as CEO and director of Minotaur Atlantic Exploration. For the past 5 years, Patrick has been instrumental in the private equity space in the United States and Canada, with his focus most recently on energy and mining resources companies, both in Texas and in Canada. Excuse me. And Patrick has over 15 years working experience in the securities industry. He's been with Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, Smith Barney, and several other securities firms, and he was the founder of Commonwealth Advisors, LLC, a company in the United States. As far as I can recall, Patrick was probably a first on this show in that he was an Olympian, having served and actually played on the Canadian soccer team in the past. So, and he's also an Olympic development staff coach as well. Welcome, Patrick. It's good to have you with me.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks for inviting me to your show today.
Well, it's really good to have you. I think that the iron oxide copper gold target is something I want to ask you about. Should tell our listeners that your company trades in Canada under the symbol CMX. You can buy it in the U.S. as I have under the symbol CMETF. CMETF. 75.4 million shares out, I think, after you do a relatively small private placement that you just announced recently. And earlier today, it was selling at 16 cents in U.S. money. That's a market cap of $12 million, which is quite small compared to what I suspect it will be if and when you find something of significance in several of your target properties. So I have to ask you, first of all, to get started here, Patrick, talk to us about iron oxide, copper, gold targets. We're looking at some sort of geology that hosts these kind of deposits, iron and copper and gold all together, I guess, and I guess it could be quite valuable. And could you give us an idea of maybe another example of an iron oxide copper gold target that and give us some idea of what they might be worth, some of the better ones?
Right. Iron oxide copper gold, or IOCG, as you mentioned, means a few things to a couple different geologists. It seems to be a bucket these days that people in the last 20 years have been throwing these massive size and scale deposits into a bucket because there is so much copper and gold. To give you some kind of temperature on this, Candelaria, Olympic Dam, Prominent Hill, those are three massive iron ore copper gold deposits, the four biggest mines on the planet. And I think Olympic Dam is something like 4 billion tons of copper, 100 or 200 million ounces of gold. Candelaria, about 25 years ago when it was discovered, I think that was a billion tons of copper and 100 million ounces of gold. So that's the size and scale of IOCG deposits. They are massive open pit mines. Mm. And Chile, of all the jurisdictions, is... they have an IOCG belt, and it's the number one producing copper country on the planet. So is the size and scale. I think Candelaria was purchased 3 or 4 years ago by Lundin Mining for $1.8 billion.
I see.
After 25 years of mining.
Okay. And does it still have a significant mine life? Are they running out of ore? Or what's the story there? Do you have any idea?
I don't know anything official, but it's primarily about, I think I've heard terms about half the mine life's gone. Like, these are massive mines that go for many, many, many decades.
Sure.
They're huge amounts, obviously. Olympic Dam, Prominent Hill, they're all over, billions of tons of copper. And we are running into a base metal shortage. All our growth and infrastructure expansion around the world.
Okay, so you're actually one advance. You have many different targets, but the one that's most advanced is known as Zulema, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it's and it's pretty close, actually, to the Candelaria. Is it in the same belt of rocks as the Candelaria?
Well, we have five properties in Chile in the Atacama Desert in Region 3, which is a proven track record for IOCG deposits. I think within 30 miles of our Zulima property, there's 8 or 9 mines IOCG. Yeah, the closest being Candelaria, which is about 18 miles away from us on the Atacama. There's an Atacama fault that goes right through our property and across where Candelaria is. And we truly believe our theory is, and our geologists and technical team, which I'd like to talk about in a moment because I'm obviously not a geologist, but we put together the best technical team we could gather in the IOCG space. We brought on Minotaur Australia as our geophysical partner, and they're also on our technical advisor team, Dr. Tony Belperio. They discovered Prominent Hill in Australia, which I believe was sold for over $1 billion. Christopher Hodgins is our lead geologist with Chilean Metals. He's a specialist in, spent 30 years in South America. He was first boots on the ground and founded Santo Domingo Mine, which Far West, I believe, sold for over $700 million. So we have a proven track record. Gary Lohman's our VP of Exploration, 30 years in South America and Latin America. And we're very excited to have our drilling program commence about a week ago. I'm actually going to be flying on a plane tonight down to Chile for a week on the ground with the drillers and the geologists to see how we're coming along.
All right. Has there been some drilling into this target before along the edge of it or something?
We did. It took us about, the company, 3 years or so to get together the land package of these five properties, Zulima being our most advanced and our priority property, given its attributes, because we do believe it's a Candelaria look-alike property. It has the scapolite, it has the limestone cap, the target's 140 meters down, just like Candelaria, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're very, very optimistic, and we've done our ZTEM, all our geophysics, and we can't, how do I say this? We can't de-risk it any further without putting a drill hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. So we have historical findings. There's Picanero, old local miners on our, that were on our property, decades ago with lots of copper, and they'd follow veins and they'd take it to the local mill and produce it. And then we've got outcrop, we've got samples. We do have a historical drill hole, but it's off our target. Our target's quite large. It's almost a 1 kilometer square target, which is, again, the size of these footprints of these big, massive potential deposits. And we spent a lot of money and time putting together all this geophysical package and again, the data and de-risking this project. And I believe that drill hole off target came back. Again, it was off the target, so it was primarily about 30 meters of 0.6 copper and 0.22 grams per ton gold. So there was definitely smoke there. But again, it was off target. It didn't even show up on our ZTEM results. So that tells you something right there. So we are going to test 10 holes in our current program. And we're very optimistic on the results.
10 holes, and how much are you spending on that?
Well, it's going to be about 2,500 meters. Chile's quite expensive. The rock is very, very hard. Give you an example, when we drill in Nova Scotia, it's 100 meters a day. In Chile, the Atacama Desert, the rock is so hard, it's about 20 meters a day with diamond drilling.
Wow.
So it's going to take about 6 to 8 weeks to go through the program and then assay the results and so on. So that's kind of the time frame there. But we've got some great support, great institutional support, and, the market's changing, and I believe the economy and the outlook for copper. And if you believe in, the infrastructure programs that are being talked out there, there's definitely going to be an increased demand. And I think you've seen that in the price of copper in the last couple months.
So your geologist will no doubt be looking at the rocks as much as the grades, I suppose, to determine whether or not you're in the, whether you've hit your target, whether things are looking good or not. When do you think we'll have both assays as well as the geologist's thoughts on the results of this 10-hole program?
Yes, well, so our geologists are on the ground right now, and they will be do visual logs of the core as it comes up, and then they will be sending it to the labs. And we have an accelerated turnaround time. There's a Canadian company down there called ACT Labs. They're going to be our certified lab, and we'll do it as quickly as we can, just in case we need to make adjustments per hole. And but again, we're probably looking at 6 weeks, roughly 6 to 8 weeks, to have all 10 analyzed and certified results back. So hopefully okay. for PDAC time frame.
Yeah, I was going to say you're.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the point is that you've got a market cap, as I mentioned, just around $12 million. So if the market starts to get a sniff of something significant happening here, this stock could really go ballistic, well, I think.
Yeah.
And you never know. I mean, you never know.
I joined this company back in, like, say, March of 2016, and it's an interesting story. It started off as I met with management from Chilean Metals about a year and a half ago to joint venture the Zalima property only, as a prospective partner, and we did our due diligence, and we loved the portfolio they had of the five properties so much, and we had our technical advisory teams, Minotaur Australia, take a look at all the data and everything, and we decided we wanted to be a part of the company. That's how much we believed in the assets and the project that they already had done. And then we acquired four properties on the Cobequid's fault in Nova Scotia, and now we have nine properties, phenomenal ISVG targets, and we can, with the two hemispheres, we could be working year-round.
Well, that's a good thing. That's the lifeblood of a junior mining company is news, and how soon might you start drilling on the Nova Scotia properties?
We just joint-ventured the property to a private Texas firm, and the number one property out there is called Bass River. It's already had a couple $1 million of work done on it, and it's drill ready. The time frame on that's about June or July, mm-hmm. drilling. And again, very, very different balance sheet costs. I think it's $55 a meter in Canada versus $200 roughly down in Chile, U.S.
Wow, yeah.
So, you know, taking advantage of the depressed pricing and the opportunities, get as much work as we can in this market before dollars recover and capital recovers in the market and drives all these prices up. So, like I was saying before, it came into this firm and it was around 1.5-2 cents a share.
Yeah.
And we've taken it from $500,000 market cap, and I think, like you said, it's about 15 million Canadian right now, and doing real work and launching our drill program. And I think it's still undervalued because we have that enormous hedge that we call it, or a put, which is our tech royalty on a previous property we sold to them called Copa Query.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought that up. We're just about out of time, yeah. But take a minute to talk to our listeners about that, because that's sort of like a security blanket for you. You've got some value no matter what happens.
It is. We think we're undervalued dramatically, just like most of the market. But I think we have an asset portfolio of nine properties, but then we have this royalty. So we have a 3% royalty on a property we sold to Tech called Copa Query. And it had, this was previous to me, 100 million pounds of copper and 30 million pounds roughly of moly.
Mm-hmm.
It's right beside Tech Resources' famous mine, QB1. They're running out of ore.
Hmm.
We're right next door. They purchased the property. We have a 3% royalty. So they're running out of ore. They're doing work on our property right now. We don't know when that royalty would kick in, but as soon as they start production on our property, we would have a 3% smelter royalty on that property. And I think QB1 in 2013 did about $400 million gross, then about three-something, then two-something. It's definitely dwindling down. And, you know, obviously we talked to Tech. They're partners of ours in that respect. And they're on the property doing work now. So hopefully, don't know if it's 12 months or 18 months, but when that does turn on, we will have a 3% cash flow to this company, which is, like you said, a put or a hedge for this company and the investor's valuation. But we could also sell that asset to a royalty company or just keep those cash flow, because most juniors, as you know, don't have income streams.
Well, absolutely. Well, Patrick, we're going to have to leave it go at that. Is there anything else very quickly that you want to make sure our listeners know about?
No, the only thing I'd add is in the last several months, we have been listed on the Frankfurt and Berlin stock exchanges. We are part of MILA, which is Mexico, Lima, Peru, Santiago exchanges. So there is more distribution, and hopefully, you know, our story's out, and people look at us for investment purposes, and we believe in this so much, I joined the company. So we're going to do our best to drive that valuation for the shareholder, and hopefully we'll have a phenomenal drill program to report in about 2 months.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. Best wishes to you, and we'll be in touch and look forward to talking to you again soon, perhaps after the results come in. Thank you very much, Patrick, for being with us.